Welcome everybody who's watching on Facebook. Say hello to Facebook.
Hello.
If you don't know, there's a table of resources at the back, and our resources are all available on our website. There's leaflets, teachings, everything about us, where we're coming from, why we're coming from that point of view. But we're called Murray Grace Fellowship for a reason, because our emphasis is God's grace. God has done everything for us by grace, just out of the goodness of his heart, because of who he is. And we get to access that by faith. It's all there, ready for us to just draw from. We don't have to wait for God to do anything. We're not asking or begging God to do anything. He's already done everything he's going to do. The Bible says that Jesus said it is finished. What Jesus did is a finished work. We have full provision for us. We're not waiting for God to do anything else for us. He's already done it. And that's the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus has done everything that is required for us to come into fellowship with God, into relationship with God. All we have to do to benefit from that is to believe that Jesus has done it. But he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we get to access the kingdom of God because of that. It's so simple, so profound. And so amazing that God has revealed to mankind so that we get to partake of all that he is, his nature, his character, his provision, his empowering. He's given us so much. He's given us everything. He's given us it all. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today from Colossians 2:10, which says we are complete in him. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but we are complete in him. God has provided everything for us. And it's up to us whether or not we access it and benefit it. It's entirely our decision. And God respects our decision. And he will not force his opinion and his will on anyone. He's given us the choice. He's shown us who he is through creation. The Bible says that we are without excuse because we can see the glory of God in creation. And more than that, he's given us his word, so that he's revealed Jesus to us, revealed that salvation is available to us through Jesus. We're without excuse. God respects our decision, but he also says, choose life, that you and your seed may live, that you and your family can have blessing and live that abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come, as Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. Not just an average getting by life, but an abundant life. Abundance in blessing, in relationships, in finances, in everything that God has for us. Every good thing. James says, every good thing, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow, no variableness of turning. God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you something one day and then take it away the next. He's just given us everything, and we get to access it by faith. It is amazing what God has done. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word in our lives and our hearts. As we open our lives and hearts to you this morning, pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come and quicken the word in every heart that will hear. Pray for everybody listening online, everybody who's listening by CD. I pray that your heart is open, that the Holy Spirit will be able to minister to you and bless you and quicken this word to you this morning. So just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done, for your empowering, and for the power of your word in our lives. We give you thanks, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week, I spoke about the word being a weapon. And I used four examples from the word to show you that God has revealed to us that it doesn't matter how little or how much we have of knowledge of the word. Whatever we've got, we can use it. Samson picked up the jawbone of an ass, a dead animal. That was all he could find as a weapon, was a bone. He picked it up and he killed 1,000 people with that bone. And I said to you, it doesn't matter how crude, how limited your knowledge of the word is. Whatever you know, whatever you've got, just use it. God says his word is a weapon. It's mighty. It's powerful in our hands. not because of words, not just simple words, but the power behind his word. And the power behind his word is God is with us. God was with Samson. That's why he could have that victory with just a bone. And then there was the story of Shamgar, who killed 600 people with a cattle prod. Not even a weapon, especially, but he saw victory with that. And to me, the message in that is, it doesn't matter what you're reading of the word, just get the word into your heart. Especially Paul's letters, especially the apostles' doctrine, as we keep saying. The scriptures that have been written to the church age that we are in, explaining to us and revealing to us all the things of the kingdom and about Jesus. Just get into the word. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians are great books to read. If you're looking to be in the ministry in any degree, Timothy and Titus are great books for you to read. Paul giving advice to those young men about church leadership and seeing your ministry grow. You can take the word and use it whatever way you need it. Might not necessarily be a cattle prod was a cattle prod, and yet he used it to kill people. You never know when the word is going to come in handy, when what you know, what we've already got, you're going to be able to take and use and see victory in your life. But you've got to know it. You've got to be in it. But start somewhere. Just make a start. Many of you are in the word. Many of you have gone beyond milk of the word, and you're using the meat of the word, and it's meaty, and you're growing, and you're being built up, and that's brilliant. You're equipping yourself with weapons that you can use in life to beat your enemies. And enemies don't come at us these days the way they did against the Israelites. We're not beating people. We're not killing people. But we're killing things like sickness and disease in our lives. We're killing poverty. We're killing depression. We're killing them stone dead with the word of God if we've got it in our lives. Rejection. All of these things that come against us. I'm not good enough. God's not pleased with me. You need to know the word so you can come against that enemy and kill it. You need to know the word. And then we looked at the story of Ehud, who made a dagger. He made himself a dagger to kill that man. He purposed. He had a purpose in making that thing. We can make the word of God into a specific weapon that we need. If you've got a specific weapon of sickness, for example, you can take the scriptures, you can form your own weapon and go to war on whatever you need to go on. There is a testimony online, it's not my testimony. Andrew Womack Ministries have Healing Journeys DVDs. And one of the stories that is told on that is the story of an Irish family whose baby boy was diagnosed with a nasty cancer. It's a long story and it's a great testimony. But one of the things that that little boy's mum did was she read the story of Ehud and his dagger and how he killed the king with that dagger. And she saw the word of God as a dagger. And she saw her son's cancer as that enemy. And so she laid hands on her baby son and spoke the word over him, seeing it like a dagger going in right into that cancer and killing the cancer in that baby. That's how she used the word. And that baby was healed. That's the testimony. That baby recovered. But his mum got the word and used it as a weapon. And that's why God has given it to us. It's more than a weapon, of course. It's a seed, it's food, it's a lamp, it's so many different things that the word calls itself. But it is very much a weapon. We looked at David and his slingshot and how a weapon like that needs practice. You're not suddenly going to get a slingshot and kill a giant with it. You need to practice. And it takes practice, practice, practice. This is why we've got to make a start somewhere. No matter how basic your knowledge of the word is, make a start. At the beginning of practicing the piano, you'll be doing extremely simple things that may not sound that great, but you've made a start. And one day you'll be able to play Mozart. You've got to make a start and practice. And don't be hard on yourself. Don't be critical of yourself. Just do it. Just pick up the word and use it for the purpose it's meant, which is for you to see victory in your life. That's what God's designed it for. It's so encouraging. The Bible talks of itself as being a sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's explicitly called a weapon, so we can use it mightily on our behalf. As I said, our enemies are not out there. Some of them are. Like sickness comes upon you, a cold and a flu can come upon you from somebody else. That's when you need to jump on it like a duck on a June bug. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. Go to war on sickness. Don't tolerate that. Don't tolerate that in your life. That's a great area to practice the word on what we would call little things, things that aren't terminal. You know, a cold isn't going to kill you. Headache's not going to kill you. But you can practice on that. You can practice seeing healing in those areas. And then when something bigger does come along, you're practiced. You practiced killing the lion and the bear. So when the giant comes along, you can get him. Easy. With confidence. Knowing that God is with you. That he is the one that's behind the power of this word. And that's so important to remember, that it's because God is with us. If you have any doubt about that, then that's your first enemy you need to overcome. That lie that says that God is not with you, that God might leave you and perhaps he has forsaken you. No, you need to get these scriptures into your heart. You need to get your understanding in line with the word of God. I want to talk a little bit about that today, how it's our thinking that can be our enemy, and it's our thinking that we need to go to war on sometimes with the word of God. Also uses our defense against the lies and deceptions that will come against us and try and take us away from the truth of the word. So I'd like to look at Colossians today. Paul wrote this book. It's kind of a sister book to Ephesians. It's really encouraging and uplifting and telling us about everything that we have in Jesus and encouraging us to walk in it. It's a really exciting book. I'm going to focus around verses 6 to 10. What I want to do is to read it to you. I'm going to read verses 6 to 10 to you. And I'm going to leave verse 8 out. Okay? So you can follow along in the word if you like, but I'm going to leave out verse 8. So Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." That's really brilliant scriptures. Encouraging us to be rooted and built up and strengthened in the Lord and established in the faith because we're complete and he's forgiven us and we've been given all things and it's just wonderful, lovely, and happy. But that's not how it's written, because verse 8 is in there. In the middle of telling you about walking in the way you've received Jesus and being rooted and built up and telling you you're complete in him, he says, beware. He says in verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." What we have in Jesus is wonderful. We've been saved, we've been filled with the Spirit, we're complete in him. And in the midst of all of that wonderful stuff, there's always going to be a voice, multiple voices, trying to tell you it's not true. Trying to deceive you, to take you away from that truth, to uproot you, pull you down, undermine you in your faith. Paul says that that's going to happen. And we need to be aware of that. That's why we need to be rooted and built up. Earlier on in chapter 2, he's talking about his heart for these people. Then in verse 2, he says, his desire is that our hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures and wisdom of knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Paul's encouraging us, trying to get us to understand everything that we have in Christ, but there's always going to be voices coming against that. He says where these voices come from: philosophy, systems of thought, ways of thinking that are nothing to do with Jesus. And we see a lot of that in the world. Lots of ways of thinking out there that are nothing to do with Jesus. Tradition of men, that's big, especially for us in the church, because there are a lot of traditions out there that have nothing to do with Jesus. There's a lot of junk floating around in the church that has got nothing to do with who we are in Christ. But it's subtle, and it can come against you, it can deceive you, and it can take you away from the knowledge of the fullness that you have in Jesus. We need to be aware of it. The rudiments of the world, that's just basic principles of the world, which are nothing to do with Jesus. Not really going to go into all of those things. The point is that there are voices coming against us all the time that are trying to take us away from who we are in Christ. So in verse 6 there, he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. This is important because we have received Jesus by faith. We've received Jesus by faith. We've acknowledged that he's done everything by his grace, and we have believed and received him by faith. And then he says, walk the way you've received him. So our walk needs to continually be one of faith in his grace. And this is where a tradition of man can come in and say, well, actually, you need to do some works for God to accept you. Or actually, maybe the way you continue in Jesus is to continually confess your sin and ask for forgiveness. That's another tradition that can creep in. And if we are not rooted in the fact that we are already forgiven, the Christian life is about confessing Jesus, not confessing sin. We need to make sure that we're walking the way we receive Jesus. That's assuming that we've received Jesus by faith through grace. Some of us came to Jesus through fear. That was my testimony. I was afraid of a lost eternity. I was afraid of going to hell. That's why I came to Jesus. I was scared. But it wasn't until later on that I realized that actually Jesus has done everything and all I need to do is believe on him. He says, as you have been taught. Paul is the one who has taught these people, and he's taught them. He taught them in Ephesians that by grace you're saved through faith. As Paul is taught, let's walk in Jesus that way, by grace, through faith. Jesus has provided everything you need. He's given us his word to use as a weapon, and we can access his power and his kingdom by faith. So as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. Walk in faith in his grace, is what Paul is saying there. And then he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. I like that picture. Rooted, roots going down, and then built up, and then established, stabilized, made stable. I don't know about your testimony, but my testimony is I was an unstable person. And God has established me in faith. He's made me stable through his word. Rooted and built up in him. That makes me think of a tree. And that made me think of Psalm 1. So let's have a look at that. You'll be familiar with all these scriptures. if you're anything like me, you don't care that you already know something. If you know it, the more you want to hear it. And Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." How many of you want to live a life like that? A couple of you, that's good. "He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water." Rivers have been here since creation. And then along comes a tree and gets planted. And a tree is planted where there is already provision. You don't plant a tree somewhere that's barren and dry and then try and channel a river to come through it. No, things grow where there's already provision. And for us, that's the finished work of Jesus. Jesus' finished work is the river. And we get planted by that river. The provision is there. We can put down roots into that provision. And you do that by studying the word. As you study in the word, you're putting down roots. And as roots go down, then there can be growth. We can grow up. We can mature. We can become practiced in the things of the kingdom and practiced in using the word and seeing its effect in our lives. And then it says, brings forth fruit. And that's what we all want in our life. We all want really good fruit. Jesus said it's fruit that glorifies God, that you may bring forth fruit to the glory of God. We all want to be bearing fruit that's good for everybody we know and to see everybody benefit. And we do that by being rooted and then built up. But again, there will always be these voices coming against us, trying to take us away from being established, trying to take us away from everything that Jesus has done. Just like in verse 1 there, there's the ungodly, there's the sinners, there's the scornful. And we don't want to walk, stand, or sit anywhere around people who are dragging us down, dragging us away from the truths of who we are in Christ. There are many, many voices out there, and they are all designed to rob us of who we are in Christ. That's what Paul says in Colossians 2. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you." In verse 8, Colossians 2, verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you." That's rob you. The way armies would go and spoil the enemy. They'd wipe out the enemy and then steal what they had. And that's what these voices seek to do to us, to rob us, to spoil us of everything good that is within us. And this is why we need to make the effort to stay in the word, to stay focused on who we are in Christ. We have a leaflet. Vic did a teaching on our identity in Christ and who we are in Christ. We made this leaflet off the back of that teaching, and there's a list here, not everything, some of the things that we have in Christ. It says on the back here, "I challenge you to speak out these truths on a daily basis or as often as you can. As you speak out these truths and believe them, you will have your mind renewed and you will be transformed. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. As you think, so are you. Take the initiative and start speaking out good things over your life today." There are many voices coming against you in this world. You need to defend yourself. And you need to go to war against these voices with your own voice, using the word out of your mouth as your sword. And these are great declarations. "I'm a child of God. I've been adopted by God. I'm an heir of God." I could read all of these things. We need to be lifting our voice louder than the voices that are coming against us in our own lives. this verse 8, which is in between verse 7 and 9, these great verses telling us everything that we have in Christ. And he says in verse 9, which is after verse 8, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him." Everything that's going on in verse 8 is designed to rob you of verses 9 and 10. Everything that's happening in verse 8 is designed to rob you of what's happening in verse 9 and 10. That you are complete in him. That Greek word for complete is pleroo, which means crammed full, like fish in a net. You can't have any more of God than you already have. And you might be saying, well, where is it then? Well, it's in your spirit. And the way you access it is through the Word of God. James says that the Word is like a mirror. And we look into the mirror of the Word to see who we are. I did my hair this morning. Cute. I did my hair this morning looking in a mirror. And I look in the mirror to see what I look like. What do I want to look like today? I can see what I'm doing by looking in the mirror. We need to look into the mirror of the Word of God and to see who we really are. Amen. As we do that. We are children of God. We are heirs. We are blessed and highly favored. We are. Amen. Now, if you're not seeing that in your life, that's not up to God. Because God has given us the tools and he said, you choose. He said, you walk, you resist, you stand, you be rooted, you be built up, you do it. Let no man beguile you. Let no man beguile you. That means it's possible that you can let somebody do it if you let them. The word is very active for us. There's lots of verbs in there. Doing words. Remember doing words? Loads of doing words for us to do. Not that it's about works, it's not about pleasing God, but it's about being active in our faith. Getting active, getting in the Word, using the Word for the purpose it's meant. Use it like a mirror, use it like a sword. Do everything with it that it's designed for you to do. It's God's provision to us. And it's not just words on paper, it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's mighty through us because God is with us. And that's what gives us the power, it gives us the victory. But you have to be really careful whose voice you're listening to. Because deception can be really subtle. The weapon that the enemy has against us is deception. That's all. And it's a good one because deception is very subtle. When the enemy came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said to Eve, did God say? Did he? Did he really say that? That's a whole other teaching, but she actually misquoted what God had said. Deception was strong at that time, and Adam was stood right there next to her when this happened, and he didn't intervene either. The deception was so strong that even Adam didn't intervene. And that's all the enemy has on us is deception, but it's subtle. It can be very subtle. Sometimes he goes too far and it becomes obvious and you can go, hang on a minute, I know where that's coming from. But sometimes it needs to be obvious. This is why we need to be strong in the Word, rooted and built up and established so that we can recognize these voices of deception when they come along and try and undermine who we are in Christ and everything that we've got. Beyond verse 10, he carries on a bit more about what Jesus has done for us and what we can be robbed of through these deceptions that can come against us. In verse 11, he says, "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." That might sound really wordy to you, but what that is saying is that when we got born again, our sin nature was cut out. Yeah. like a circumcision, cut off. And circumcision doesn't grow back, by the way. Once your sin nature is gone, it's gone. And God has made us a new creature in Christ. We are recreated brand new. And yet Paul has included that in this section, which suggests that we can be deceived about that. We can be deceived about the fact that our sin is forgiven. And we can start maybe reverting back to, is God annoyed at me about this thing in my life? Is God withholding from me because of this thing in my life? And that can start becoming a deception that can have an effect. And it can start undermining your faith in the finished work of Jesus. We need to be established in our forgiveness. Yeah. Vic did a great teaching a few weeks ago on forgiveness. In fact, 2 years ago, you remember, we did our definitive teaching on forgiveness. But Vic added to that a couple of weeks ago, which was just awesome. So if you need to be reestablished in forgiveness, get that CD. Because to know we are forgiven is absolutely foundational. We have to know we are forgiven. And yet tradition of men can come in and say, actually, you need to ask for forgiveness for your sin. You need to confess your sin. Well, there's also a leaflet on the back table there. What about 1 John 1:9, which is, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If you're confused about that, you can read that leaflet. But there is nowhere in the Word that says we need to ask for forgiveness. And yet, that's pretty prevalent. Confession of sin, asking for forgiveness, it's not biblical. It's a tradition. And the thing about traditions of men is a lot of them have come from the Word of God. Because what the church has done as a whole, as we've said often, is blended the two covenants together. So you get this mixture going on. Maybe sometimes God's angry with you. Maybe sometimes he'll let you off. Maybe sometimes your sin is so worthy of death and he's going to put a cancer on you and you're going to die. Or his forgiveness is so overwhelming that it's not even seeing it. We need to understand how to rightly divide the word. As Chris was saying this morning, we need to be able to rightly divide the word, as Paul says to Timothy. He says, study to show yourself a workman approved unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word needs to be rightly divided. The right division is the cross. So when Jesus came, he changed everything. In Psalm 1, we read there about the righteous man's delight being in the law of God. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That was great under the old covenant. Our meditation needs to be Jesus and what he has done. Because the law in itself has been replaced by the new covenant. The law is not for us anymore. Having it there is wonderful to see and to learn from, but it is not for us to live by. Which is another tradition of men, that maybe you have to keep a couple of the commandments now to be approved by God. The 9 commandments, that is. How many religious people keep the Sabbath these days? It's not even the Sabbath that the Sabbath is on. Sabbath was a Saturday. Every week, people who think they're keeping the law are breaking the law because they haven't kept the Sabbath anyway. That's a whole other thing. But the point is that our delight is the Word of God rightly divided. Yeah. That's our delight. And if we will meditate on that day and night, if it will be our every waking thought and our every nightly dream, then that's all going a long way to us remaining planted and rooted and being built up. As we are meditating on the Word of God day and night, that's how our mind gets renewed. Our mind is renewed by the Word of God. And we see that so often through Paul's teachings and the other New Testament teachings, how important that is. Paul says in Romans, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." Transformed, metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. That complete transformation from something weak and crawling to something glorious and beautiful and flying high. That's the potential that is in us through the Word of God. If we will make it our waking thought and our nightly dream. The Word of God is powerful, it's effective, it's good for us in so many ways, and it's just entirely up to us how much of that we benefit from. But Paul says that we are complete in him. We are saved. We are walking with Jesus, rooted and built up in him. But voices are going to come against us. And we need to be ready with the information to come against those voices, to cast them down. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn." Any tongue that rises against you in judgment, you condemn. God doesn't condemn it on our behalf. We need to do that. We need to say, "No way, no way, I'm not having that. I'm not receiving that. I'm not believing that. That is not who I am. That is not what God has got for me. That is not what Jesus has done for me. I'm not having that." You need to cast that down. "No weapon formed against us shall prosper." That means there are weapons that are formed against us. There are words, there are voices that are coming against us as weapons to try and bring us down. But we need to retaliate using the Word of God, casting down those voices that are coming against us. You need to be aware of what you're thinking and about what you're believing about yourself. This is important. How you're thinking about yourself is how your life is going. Val was having a conversation with a friend the other day who was a bit messed up. And Val was trying to encourage this person to think of 5 good things about themselves. She said, "Right, stop. I want you to tell me 5 good things about yourself." And it took a while for this friend to be able to do that. But eventually, she came up with 5 things. It can be a struggle. You know, when you don't like yourself, when you don't like what you see in the mirror, it can be a struggle sometimes to think about the good things that are in you. But they're there. And this was a non-believer. How much more can we, as believers, come up with 5 good things about us? Amen. We can reel them off. But you do need to believe that that's true about you. And it's true about you because the Word says it's true, and there's power in that Word. Have a look at the book of Philemon, which is just before Hebrews. And in verse 6, in fact, let's read from verse 4. "I thank my God," this is Paul writing, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints." And this is his prayer that he says. He's praying that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You need to acknowledge it. I can look around this room and I can see the good things about everybody that I know, and I know the people that I don't know. There's good things in you. But you need to acknowledge the good things that are in you, in Christ. You need to go through that list and acknowledge But that list is true about you. And there's more than 5 things on there, by the way. And it's not a comprehensive list. I'm righteous. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I am not under law. Yes! I'm under grace. And if you've got a problem with that, Paul says in Romans, Christ is the end of the law to them who are in Christ. Jesus is the end of the law for the Christian. We are not under law. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. This is Jeremiah prophesying the new covenant. This is then repeated twice in the book of Hebrews. And this is what the new covenant is. In those days, that's now. We are in those days now. Verse 33. This will be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. I will put my law in their hearts. I will put it in their inward parts and I will be their God. They will be my people. This is all about what God is going to do. It's all about what God has done for us. Because under the old covenant, it was thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It was all about what we had to do. Under the new covenant, it's all about what God has done. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. I will remember their sin no more. Now that's the covenant that we are under now. Yes. If you've got a problem with sin, you're under the wrong covenant. And you need to get under the right one. The one that is actually in effect now. The old covenant's not even in effect anymore. There's no more high priest of the old covenant. We've got the high priest of a new covenant. Amen. That's another teaching. There's a new way of relating to God, and we need to get it in our minds what that is. And that is that it is all about Jesus and not about us. It's about the fact that we have believed that Jesus is who he says he is, and we've put faith in that. And as we've put faith in that, we have access to everything else. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, I'm a door. Jesus is the door. Once that door is open, you have access to the kingdom of God. You open the door. You know, like in The Wizard of Oz, when the house is blown up and it's landed and it's all black and white and darkish. And then she goes to the door and she opens the door and it's all color and she's in a totally new land. Sorry, I'm using the analogy from a film again, but just made me think that it's kind of like that. You know, this world is one thing, but we have access to another world, another kingdom. And it's there for us to access by faith. And it's as we look into the word and see it there that we get to take it and use it and make it ours. It's that table set before us again in Psalm 23. The full provision is on that table. All we need to do is reach out and take it by faith. Whatever we need, it's there. These are the mindsets that we need to be established in, rooted in, grounded and built up in, so that when the voices come against us to deceive and tell us, actually, that's not true, actually, you're only an animal, really. You're pretty much just a mammal. So if you behave like an animal, it doesn't really matter. No, you've been created in the image of God, and you can choose. You can choose to make good choices. You can choose to move into freedom. There's so many amazing choices that we can make in our life. We need to not be listening to the lies that are seeking to take us away from that completeness in Jesus, take us away from that fullness and that provision that we have. We need to delight in his word day and night. Let it be our focus, our meditation. And as we do that, we are strengthening ourselves, we are preparing ourselves for when attack does come. We've got a defense and we can go to war on those thoughts. But it's absolutely up to us. God will not do it for us. That's not how he does it. It's not up to God. God has done everything. We're not lacking anything. It's not like there's something missing in us that we need to get before we can do this. No, God has given us full access. And it's up to us. We get to choose. We get to choose how we live. Are we going to live as a caterpillar or as a butterfly? Because we can choose that. Yeah. And to me, that's really thrilling. If it was up to God, if we're waiting for God, which was my life for years, I was waiting for God. Waiting for God to move, doing nothing, just living depressed, powerless, waiting. When I knew that God had already done it, that set me free because that gave me a track to run on. If God's already done it and I can access it, I'm going to access it. And then I pursued it. If we're waiting for God to move, then that's a long wait. But we're not waiting for God. He has already done it. We, if we want to, can access it by faith. Anything we need. Anything that has been provided by Jesus on that cross, it's ours and we can have it. Just keep on that mindset. Guard your mind. Later on in Colossians, Paul says, set your affection on things above. That word affection means mind. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. Because the things of the earth are going to try and drag us down, drag us away. So stay focused. Stay focused on who God is, who you are in him. The fact that you are empowered, you have the Holy Spirit, you are empowered to live an abundant life. God has done it all for us, and we need to guard that. But go to war when we need to. Okay? You got that? Good. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And I just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will quicken this word in us and excite us to press into the things of the kingdom through your word, Lord. Your Holy Spirit revealing and empowering and quickening us as we go. So I just thank you so much for your wonderful word, Lord. It is amazing. We are so grateful to you for everything that you've done. And we rejoice in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.